False teaching on positive confession, Christianity's deception. By Joseph Ho. Faithword teachings has become popular and gained worldwide acceptance through the promise of prosperity and power for the charismatic Christians. It has also been propagated as an offensive tool for the charismatic Christian to bind the devil. All in all, I wonder why these teachers did not correctly divide the Word of God. There appear many convincing scriptures that refute this claim. Little wonder how the poor Christians still think that when they confess a thing or profess a word that God has to bring it to pass. If you put the cart in front of the horse, you cannot expect that it will move properly, let alone move forward. When you confess whatever you desire, and God has to bless it, that makes our Lord God, shepherd and master the sheep, for he has to obey your confession. The last time I checked with God, he is still the supreme commander, the great I am. We do not have enough intelligence to direct God, as he has no need for counsel. It is we who have to listen to him, and God never need anyone to teach him how to do anything. When Christian believers attend church services and man-made programs for a long time, but do not see any spiritual progress in their lives or even the evidence that God is with them, what happens? They will become disillusioned and restless and will seek greener pastures. So someone has to revive them. But if the revival is made of human suppositions, then we will obtain a false teachings. Yet a temporary gift of power is better than no actions. This passive impotence will make people gullible and drive them to try wrong doctrines, because they become desperate enough for something new, even if it might not be the full truth. They need hope of power to act and dislike the waiting process of being helpless. So they cling on to any man-made dogmas, and give ear to myths and fairy tales concocted by human understanding, masquerading as Word of God. The Bible specifically states we are not to add nor subtract from what is written. Does God have to do what you say just because you confess those things in Jesus' name? The strange thing about the Bible is that it is a holistic book, and no one should read only a partial section of the book. Have you not heard that we should not take things out of context in the Bible and start issuing a doctrine? Let me go further to say we cannot read a section of the Bible and take it out of the entire book to proclaim a rule of law. How did this doctrine come into existence? I suspect it came from one statement and also from what Jesus did when he calmed the waters by speaking to his problems. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, he replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." But the Bible also says, faith comes by hearing. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But the following verses also show that if God did not decree a thing, no one can say anything and make it happen by own thoughts, no matter how kind, sincere or compassionate we are with our own good intention and best wishes. Jesus said without him, you can do nothing unless you stay in the vine. Staying in the vine refers to us abiding in him and drawing wisdom or life-giving truth from him as the source. If Jesus didn't give you the word to heal someone, healing cannot take place for that person. It's only when God sends his word that healing can take place. Simply because the word of God from his own mouth has creative power. Psalm chapter 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 37 to 38, who can speak and have it happen? If the Lord has not decreed it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come? Only the mouth of God can proclaim anything before it can happen. So similarly, if a man of God has been instructed by God to proclaim what he hears, the same thing can happen. But ordinary untrained, undisciplined Christians thinking that they somehow possess the rights of a firstborn and goes around to proclaim anything from their own human understanding using Jesus' name, expecting God to accomplish what he did not intend, is actually committing false witnessing. It gives people false hope of recovery. This is the sin against the Holy Spirit of God through assumption, by claiming what God will do when God has not actually agreed. All false witnesses, as in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 5, chapter 19, verse 9, and chapter 21, verse 28, will be eventually and surely be punished by God. Job chapter 41, verse 11. Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. Binding the devil. There is another famous behavior of Christians trying to bind the devil to prevent him from working havoc in their lives. It's called "let's bind the devil." But can we truly bind the devil? In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 16 to 17. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame, and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to work havoc. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. The destroyer is Satan, the devil, in Genesis, and it was God who commanded the destroyer to kill all the firstborn of Egypt, but not to harm any Israelite people. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 23, when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the doorframe and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This was a famous prayer activity, which I heard a lot when it comes to gaining the victory over our circumstances in some independent charismatic churches. The binding of the devil is termed spiritual warfare. How ignorant could these people be? Did they not read the book of Jude verse 8 and 9? Jude is not a most popular book for most people since it contains only one chapter and is quite obscure. Jude verse 8 through 11. In the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. Even Michael the archangel did not dare to bring an accusation against the devil, and ignorant men speak against him without understanding. This was defined as Balaam's error. Balaam was a Mesopotamian prophet who would curse people for a prophet. He is not an Israelite prophet, but he could still hear from God. So how can ordinary man bind the devil by speaking words and confessing this victory in Jesus' name? Unless God specifically gave you that authority and power, no one can do this kind of thing. The kingdom of God and its governmental structure. The kingdom of God has a decent order of hierarchy. God the head, followed by Jesus his son, and all the government rest upon his shoulders. The book of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We should be keen observer of the exact words which each context is written. Here in this case, it says the government will be upon his shoulder. Means there is a governmental structure and hierarchy in the kingdom of God. Whenever there is a government, it means there is an order and things do not get done anyhow anywhere without the approval of the one in charge of this government. So what did the Lord say about anyone confessing and speaking to things? Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24 through 26, this is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord, who has made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself, who foils the signs of false prophets and makes fools of diviners, who overthrows the learning of the wise and turns it into nonsense, who carries out the words of his servants and fulfills the predictions of his messengers, who says of Jerusalem, it shall be inhabited, of the towns of Judah, they shall be built, and of their ruins, I will restore them. God will only carry out the words of his servants and messengers. Unauthorized words from heretics and unapproved personnel will not be fulfilled by God when declared. When God wants his words to be fulfilled, he tells his servant what to say, and God fulfilled his words sent to his servant. It does not happen the other way around. Servant needs to obey the master, and master doesn't need to obey the servant's word. Even the demons asked the question to the sons of Sheba in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 19, verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul the first know, but who are ye? The sons of Sheba were trying to cast out demons in Jesus' name, but they were defeated. Why? They had no authority of their own, but Jesus gave his disciple this authority. It shows here that using Jesus' name alone is not effective when dealing with the real demons. Unless you have been given authority by the Lord himself. Before you go around doing positive confession, please check if you have this authority, otherwise the demons will eat you for lunch. If you are still unconvinced, let's do a simple test. If God has to perform all our words because we said so, then what will happen when two men prays to God to make the same woman his wife? Since God must fulfill all those positive confessions, wouldn't this woman become the wife of two men, thus violating the rule of one man, one wife? Can this be the order and rule of an intelligent God? It's absurd and ridiculous for God to be a disorderly God, so is the same goes for the faith word confession kind of mental talk, useless babble mixed with New Age positive thinking man-made concepts. The other thing is that until today, no one has moved any mountain yet, let alone walk on water. Does this mean that Jesus was only speaking figuratively about faith and moving mountains? God gave Jesus full authority so that he can command the things in earth and heaven. But has God given us that authority yet? We cannot assume such things, otherwise we would be guilty of false witnessing and using the name of our Lord God in vain. God cannot give any man authority of such proportion, because it is equivalent to giving them an execution axe, that they can do anything they like. Absolute powers corrupt absolutely. When even prosperity preachers could not handle large sums of money, what makes us so sure we can handle and wield such powers by positive confession? You can't simply will things into existence by our thinking. Can we make gold out of the air by thinking? That kind of power belongs to an almighty God. Just by thinking of something to be true when it's not will not make it the truth. Similarly, thinking of something as false will not make the truth false. Our thinking cannot violate the laws of God to make things happen. But if you still insist on positive confession, better beware of what you say what God will do, because when it ends up not happening, the people whom you are witnessing to will call you a false prophet. When things don't come to pass, because you speak out of your own imagination, then God has no obligation to fulfill the words of a loose cannon. Even Jesus himself was subjected to the obedience of God. Now is this true? Or did Jesus do any positive confession by his own understanding? Remember the case of Lazarus, who died and was buried in a tomb for 4 days. When Mary, the sister of Lazarus, sent people to ask Jesus to come to heal his brother, but Jesus would not come until the 4th day, and he said that this death is not a true death, but that Lazarus was asleep when indeed he was dead. Jesus meant that Lazarus would be raised from the dead by his calling forth of the dead. Then came his famous proclamation that he is the truth and the life and the resurrection, and those who believe though they were dead yet they will live, and those who are alive that they will never die. Jesus was obedient to the Father by not going to Lazarus when he was called. He remained where he was, and this puzzled his disciples, since Jesus was a man of compassion and surely he would not want to see his good friend Lazarus dead. Yet he waited until the 4th day. When people died for 4 days, they will stink, and everyone can testify that being buried for 4 days will make a dead man really dead, so to speak. Now, if anyone wants to move in this kind of power, he has to be totally submitted to the rule of God and be obedient unto death. Otherwise, God will not put such power in the hands of an ordinary man. If you are not his servant, don't even try to think that you can do any positive confession, and God has to honor your words. Did God make a covenant directly with you saying that you can do so? If not, don't fantasy or imagine you have this power that you can call upon, for one day you shall meet the high priest of the devil and find that you don't have this power after all. Then you may be in deep waters without any wind behind you. If you are going to war with an empty weapon, thinking it's fully loaded, you may be the most foolish man alive. I would certainly check my weapon and have it proven to work before I can even think of entering the war zone. And the devil is not going to dance around with you or even give you a second chance. He is not merciful and will put you down as he did the sons of Sheba. In any country government, all appointed ministers of state are allowed to speak on behalf of their government and issue diplomatic statements, but no citizen are allowed to do so without having such appointments. So is the same with the kingdom of God. Therefore, don't be clouds without rain or even wells without water. Such are the false prophets in times of old. And one last word of caution, as seen in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 28, a false witness will perish, and whoever listens to him will be destroyed forever. If you want to know more about the deeper truth, check out my website at www.thlianscepter.com, and if you have any question or need any clarification, kindly email me at prophet3333@yahoo.com. This article is written by Joseph Ho. It is available on our website, the Lion's Scepter. www.thelionscepter.com. You can go to Amazon and search for his books.